The unemployment rate drops to a two-year low as the economy adds 216,000 jobs.
Marketplace Morning Report is produced in association with the University of Southern California.
Good morning from APM, American Public Media in Los Angeles. I'm Jeremy Hobson with The Morning Open, a look at business and the economy as Wall Street starts the day. Coming up, we'll talk about the good and the not-so-good details in this morning's big monthly employment report from the government. But first, where's Wall Street? Stocks are up slightly. The Dow's up 23 points at 12,342. The Nasdaq up about 0.2%, and the S&P 500 up about 0.3%. News this morning that Nasdaq and Intercontinental Exchange have made a joint offer to buy the New York Stock Exchange. The offer is about 19% higher than the one made by the German Stock Exchange, and the NYSE says it is reviewing the details. Now let's get to this morning's employment report from the Labor Department. It says the U.S. economy added 216,000 jobs in March. That was more than most economists were expecting, and all of the job gains were in the private sector. In fact, government jobs dropped by about 15,000. The unemployment rate has also dropped from 8.9 to 8.8%. For more on all this, let's bring in our regular Friday guest, Chris Lowe, chief economist at FTN Financial. He's with us live from New York. Hi, Chris.
Good morning.
So what's your reaction to this report?
Well, look, on balance, it's a terrific report. There's a lot to like here. For the first time since the recession, we had private job growth of more than 200,000 2 months in a row. The unemployment rate has fallen four times in a row, something no economist would have thought possible at the end of last year. Just in general, it looks much better, the employment situation, than it did a year ago. But unfortunately, there's also some real problems in here as well. There are industries like construction and state and local government that are not participating in the gains, and the duration of unemployment remains very, very high.
And Chris, what does all of this mean as policymakers and lawmakers in Washington decide what to do when it comes to economic stimulus going forward?
Well, that's where it's going to get really difficult. The Federal Reserve, which makes monetary policy, has only blunt tools at its disposal. So as the unemployment rate comes down, at some point they're going to have to raise interest rates. And actually today, the bond market's already anticipating that those rates have gone up. Meanwhile, Congress, at some point they have to take fiscal stimulus away as well, but that's going to be tough when you have whole industries not participating in the recovery.
Chris Lowe, chief economist at FTN Financial, thanks so much as always.
You're welcome.
Well, reporters and economists are still digging into more than 25,000 pages of Federal Reserve data that was released yesterday, but we're already finding out some interesting news about the deepest moments of the financial crisis, specifically who got how much in emergency loans from the Fed's so-called discount window. All the big U.S. banks are on the list, including the mighty Goldman Sachs, but there are some unusual names on there, too, as Marketplace's Stephen Beard reports.
Mainstream British lenders like the Royal Bank of Scotland joined the line at the Fed's discount window, but so too did some pretty odd cattle. A Belgian bank that specialises in lending to local government in Belgium, they borrowed $33.5 billion. Then there's the Norinchukin Bank, which provides financial services to Japanese fishermen. And perhaps even more exotic, the Arab Banking Corporation. That's part-owned by the Central Bank of Libya. Justin Urquhart-Stewart is with fund managers Seven Investment.
I suspect to every true American, you would have thought that this window is designed to help American banks. It's an old-fashioned concept, but after all, it is your banking system.
The revelations are already causing a storm in the US, but the Federal Reserve points out that these emergency loans were all entirely legal and all were repaid. In London, I'm Stephen Beard for Marketplace.
Marketplace Morning Report is supported by Constellation, supporting customer choice and clean, efficient energy sources and technologies, working with customers nationwide to create a sustainable energy future. Constellation.com. By Progressive Insurance, with Snapshot, a personalized program that bases rates on mileage and safe driving habits. Learn more at Progressive.com. and by Thomson Reuters, committed to empowering professionals of the world with the knowledge needed to do what they do best, the Knowledge Effect.
France is the latest country to move beyond gross domestic product, or GDP, to measure economic success. Some countries are switching to measuring well-being and happiness, but not France. The country's Office of Economic Analysis has announced plans to systematically measure ennui. Marketplace's David Brancaccio reports.
In addition to new measures of well-being in his country, French President Nicolas Sarkozy said today there must be balance, calling for new, regular government surveys of public levels of ennui, or boredom. Sarkozy said the intention is to, quote, keep France French by ensuring that Anglo-American-style happiness does not get out of hand. Emily Zola is leading the project for the Government Statistics Office.
Ennui correlates with a lack of social engagement. A bored worker is not a productive worker. That said, ennui can drive the creative process and therefore drive innovation.
Researchers have an innovative way to assess ennui in real time by electronically monitoring a random sample of French workers who spend computer time playing what is known as solitaire, a kind of solo card game popular in France. Amid privacy concerns, Google rejected a proposal to monitor French internet searches of the term nihilism. Joanna Keynes at the Bureau of Labor Statistics in Washington says researchers in the U.S. are watching the French project closely.
This is a really key development in the emerging field of idleness studies. Official statistics are very good at tracking economic activity, but economic inactivity is equally important.
A challenge for statisticians, experts say, is finding a way to distinguish between a run-of-the-mill sense of tedium and the more general world weariness so prevalent in France. I'm David Brancaccio for Marketplace.
And with that, enjoy the holiday. In Los Angeles, I'm Jeremy Hobson. On Twitter, at Jeremy Hobson, this is the Marketplace Morning Report. This is APM, American Public Media.
The healthcare industry is loaded with new jobs, so you better have a really good resume.
Anytime you have more people entering a field, then they just simply up their standards of what they want.
I'm Kai Rizdal. Experience is a must. We'll have the day's business news as well next time on Marketplace from APM, American Public Media.
The world can be a confusing place for kids, and finding the words to explain it all can be tricky, too. Introducing Million Bazillion, a Webby-winning podcast from Marketplace that takes your kids on exciting adventures to answer the awkward and complex questions they have about money. Each week, we tackle hard-hitting inquiries from kid listeners like,
what is a college account and how does it work?
I want to know what unions are and what they are for.
Why does the U.S. have so much gold in Fort Knox and what do they use it for?
Help your kids understand how money fits into the world around us. Listen to Million Bazillion wherever you get your podcasts.